welcome back to 68-16 Sportscast. We are splitting up into part two of our ACC preview. We just went through the Atlantic Division, got all of our thoughts per team with our rankings. We're going to do the same thing on the Coastal side now. So, Brad, we're going to start, we're going to do an alphabetical order, same format that we just finished with the Atlantic. So that puts us with, I believe Duke would be the first team up, is that right?
Duke Blue Devils, yep. They came off a year where they were 4-8 and 1-7. Disappointing year for Duke. You know, Cutcliffe's got expectations high there. He's had great years before that. They beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame last year, which is an incredible win. You know, once a lifetime type win for Duke, but they weren't able to follow it up. A lot of disappointing losses down the stretch, including losing at home to Virginia, which is really disappointing. But they beat UNC in the year too, so they had two really good wins, two cupcake wins, and then eight losses of various degrees. So this year I like them a little more talent wise, especially offensively. I don't think Cutcliffe's gonna be that bad offensively 2 years in a row. He's just too good of a coach. I think Daniel Jones will emerge as a quarterback. He was a freshman last year, sophomore. I think he'll continue to develop, get experience. Senior running back, I think they'll be good there. Defense concerns me. It's always a concern with Duke. They just don't have a lot of athletes up there, so they're gonna give up some plays and some yards. I wanted to put them higher, but unfortunately, I do have them last in the Coastal at 7. I've got them 3-9, unfortunately 0-8. It's just kind of the way the schedule plays out. Their winnable games are Virginia and Wake, and both are on the road. So, you know, you got those tough games. You got Florida State, another interdivisional game. I've got them beating Central. Northwestern, I've got a loss. They struggled with Northwestern. Northwestern kind of outsmarts them. One of the few teams that can do that, so I've got a loss there. I've got them beating Baylor, and we'll get to Baylor in the Big 12, but Baylor's going to have a lot of issues this year. And then losses the rest of the way, except a road win against Army on November 11th. So a lot of people probably have them higher, Virginia. I'm going to go dead last, though, and put them at number 7.
I've got them actually, you know what? I went back and I did change it. I got them just above a Virginia, so I got them 6.
Yeah, everybody has those teams in the bottom, but yeah, it's one of those two teams will be last, I think.
Right. Duke's got some issues. I guess Thomas Cirque is officially gone.
Yeah.
Transferring out, so Daniel Jones is the official starter going forward. They got a few receivers back. They've got to rely on the ground game to kind of get the offense kick-started. And Sean Wilson's good enough to do it. The offensive line should be a little bit better. They got an Ohio State lineman transferring in as well. Evan Lyle, I believe it is.
Yep, that's got to help.
Yeah, so that can only get better. So I think if they rely on Wilson, at least early, try to get the pass game going in some positive direction, that'll help them out. Defensively, it's going to be bad still. There's not a lot to say there, really.
Yep.
Jalice Harris and Humphreys, they can kind of work around those two guys. But defensive line, I think most of them are gone. So yep. They're going to have issues getting after the quarterback and stopping the run.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair assessment. And unfortunately, they'll finish towards the bottom of the pack. I think the glory days of Duke football are over. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I would agree with the glory days being over.
I mean, they had 4 straight bowl games there. I don't think they'll do that again anytime soon.
They set a standard.
They did. 4 straight bowl games. One bowl victory. They got the squeaker over Indiana. But they played Johnny Manziel to the bitter end.
Think about what you just said, though. The glory days.
Yep.
They won a bowl game against Indiana.
Yep. Well, not even Wake has gone. I don't think Wake's ever gone to 4 straight bowl games before, so that's an impressive run.
Yeah, but they were in the Orange Bowl.
They were in the Orange Bowl. Duke never got to the Orange Bowl. The Chick-fil-A bowl year is pretty impressive, though, and that was 9-4 year. That's a pretty good year.
Would you rather get to the Orange Bowl and lose or go to 4 straight and beat Indiana?
Probably get the Orange Bowl and lose. You're right.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, moving on here, let's get to some more talented teams, and I guess it depends on where you have Georgia Tech to see if they're more talented. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are next on there.
This is like one of the most boring teams to talk about.
It is, but I like them this year. They're one of those teams that kind of either just they surprise when not supposed to do well. They disappoint when they're supposed to do well. They're coming off a good 9-4 year. People are expecting them not maybe to bounce, fall off a little bit. I think they'll be good again. They've got a lot back. They lose their quarterback, which is huge in the triple option.
Is Jordan out? I know he hurt his foot. I couldn't quite figure out if he'd be ready for opening day. Any idea?
I saw the same thing. Late spring, he had the injury.
Yeah.
They said 3 months. It's going to be close. That couldn't, because Marshall Jordan's a little bit of a drop off there. So yeah, that could hurt him if he's not. They've got a tough opening game, Tennessee and a neutral in Atlanta. They got him in Atlanta, which is nice, but that's going to be a tough game. But again, there's a lot to like here. 17 returning starters. Again, these triple option teams, when they got everybody back, they're tough to beat. It's one of those schemes that you have to develop guys in. It takes snaps and reps. And if you got guys that can do it, you can have a really good offense. And that's what Georgia Tech, I think, is going to have this year. They're going to move the ball. Even though you got a new quarterback, I think there's been enough around them, experience around them, to navigate the waters there. Defense should only get better with 8 returning defenders. Defense wasn't terrible last year. It's been terrible in the past. Last year was only 59th. The rushing – total offense is always going to be bad on Georgia Tech just because they can't throw the ball at all. But they're going to run the ball well, I think. Overall, I think they're going to have a good year. They don't turn the ball over. They're going to win the turnover margin because they protect the ball well. I've got them 8-4 and 6-2 in the Coastal with losses to Tennessee, at Miami, at Clemson, and Georgia at home. I've got the rest wins. Those are some tough games. I got them beating Pitt at home. I've got them beating Virginia Tech at home, which is a lot of people probably don't have, but I think they knock those games off. But again, I think 8-4, 6-2. That'll get them second in the Coastal, and I'll explain that in a little bit, but that's kind of where I have the Jackets.
I mostly agree with all of that. I've got them losing to Pitt.
Okay. So 7-5.
Yeah, one more loss and you've got them. I agree with the assessment of the team as a whole. They've got to make sure they stay on the field offensively, though. Too often they don't convert first downs and go 3-and-out last year and put the defense in terrible spots. So that can't continue. And then on the defensive side, the secondary needs help. Yeah. 5 of the top 9 tacklers on the team are in the secondary. That's bad news. I mean, these guys are getting into the secondary. They're having to come up and run support too much. You've got to get more support out of your linebackers.
Yep. I agree. I mean, this was one of the hottest teams in the year last year, though. People forget about that. They won 6 of their last 7. They beat Georgia. They killed Kentucky in the bowl game. They beat one at Virginia Tech when Virginia Tech was ranked. The team ended up winning the Coastal. They won a lot of good games down the stretch. I think it's a really talented football team. But again, I think there's some issues, concerns. What would you put in the Coastal? Third, second, fourth? Or
I believe I've got them third.
Yep. Very good. Ready to move on to the Miami Hurricanes?
Yep.
Year two under Mark Richt, getting better. Guy, if they had Brad Kaya, they'd be really good. They'd be talking preseason, top 10 national playoff contender. Instead, they got to break in Malik Rozier, which he's talented, but there's going to be some learning curve there. They got a lot back around him, though. 7 offensive starters, 7 defensive starters back. Most experienced team besides Georgia Tech in the Coastal. A lot of talent here. I could say everybody because everybody I've seen got them. I mean, Athlin's got them 1, winning the Coastal. Phil Steele has them winning the Coastal. A lot of people have this team winning the Coastal Division. I am, too, and I've got it by a tiebreaker, actually, winning the Coastal. I've got them 10-2 and 6-2 with losses at Florida State and at Pitt. I'll go ahead and tell you that I got a 3-way tie. Top of the Coastal with Miami, Georgia Tech, and Pittsburgh. they would all beat each other. The next tiebreaker, I should research this because I've got a tie. I got to break it. The second tiebreaker in the ACC is division opponent, and Miami and Georgia Tech are going to be 5-1 in the division, where I've got Pitt as 4-2. So as a result, Miami and Georgia Tech would be a head-to-head. Miami beat Georgia Tech at home. They've owned Georgia Tech recently. I've got Miami narrowly winning this division. I don't think they're elite status yet, but they're going to win a clustered coastal that's going to be, you know, who knows what happens. That's what I've got.
Okay. Let me go back real quick and correct something I said. I got Georgia Tech third. I think I said second.
You said third.
Okay, sorry.
Yep.
Okay. Miami, I've got second. I've got them losing those same two games. Pitt, last game of the season, and was it Florida State?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. If they had Kaya, this team would be rolling this year.
Mm-hmm.
The running backs, Walton back, he's excellent. The offensive line might have some issues, though. They're losing, I think, 4-5.
Yep, they are.
So that could be a struggle for them.
Mm-hmm.
They just got to make sure they run the ball. They go over 100 yards last year. They were good. They didn't hit the 100-yard mark. They lost. That's just the way it went.
Yep.
They get the ground game running. But, of course, with Kaya back there, if you're running for 100-plus and he's throwing the ball all over the yard, you're going to win.
Yep.
You know, that's the way it is. Defensively, they're just – I mean, they're getting more experience. Their entire front seven will be back. But they are going to lose some guys on the back end. Elder, cornerback, was out. Best corner on the team. Best safety, Jenkins, is gone. So we'll see how they hold up. But they got to run the ball. Got to cut down on the penalties. They got the same Florida State issue, which I – this might be debatable, but I think that's more of a coaching problem. So I don't really expect that to go away. I think it's still going to be kind of in the background.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But yeah, I got to go in second, two losses.
Okay.
Good football team overall.
Good, yeah. Very solid football team. So, interesting that week two at Arkansas State, possible trap game, you think? You beat Booth home.
No.
Then you got
Florida State. No, you're looking too far into it. Okay. I think you're looking way too far into that. Because it's a game before Florida State doesn't make it a trap game.
You never know.
No, that's not.
I said App State would beat them last year, though, and they handled App State easily, so there you go. But we'll see.
Now, if they lose to Arkansas State, does it become a de facto trap game by the fact that they lost the game?
Yes, that'd be a good
Okay.
A retroactive trap game there.
So no matter what, if they lose, it's a trap game.
Oh, yeah, it's a trap game.
Okay. Sure. So if Arkansas State wins, you were right.
Yep.
If it's a close win for Miami, does that make it a trap game as well?
It could.
Like if they just eke it out?
Yep. Probably was a trap game.
All right, I'm going to say it's a trap game then. Okay. And then if they blow them out, then I'll just say, you know, it's whatever. It's Arkansas State, right?
There you go. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
North Carolina Tar Heels would be next. They're coming off a 8-5 season. Mitch Trubisky left. They've only got 5 returning starters on offense. They pick up Brandon Harris from LSU, who was terrible at LSU. So I'm interested to see if he can be any better at UNC under Fedora's coaching.
I don't know if there's any reason why we should expect him really to be that
much
better.
Just didn't show any he was a top recruit, but he was just terrible. I mean, everybody was so bad at LSU quarterback-wise. I mean, I don't know if it's just the system or what. I mean, we can see if he can develop. I don't know. It'll be an interesting progress. But, no, he's not going to be anywhere near the quarterback they had the last 2 years, which will be an issue because he's not going to be Trubisky and he's not going to be Marquise Williams, and that's who they had the last 2 years. And the defense has never been good there. They got 7 back from it, but they're not a very good defense. You know, they were 63rd last year, which is a little better than the year before, but not very good overall. This is a step back year, in my opinion, for UNC.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They were third. You know, they won the division in 2015. Year before that, they were third. Last year, they were third. I think I've got them fifth this year. and I've got them at 6-6 and 3-5 with wins over Cal in a tough opening game. Old Dominion, they beat Duke, they beat Virginia, they beat Western Carolina, and they win at State, and they need to get the sixth win to a bowl game. All their losses, I've got, you know, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Miami, Pitt. Just brutal schedule, and definitely not as talented team as they've had in years past.
I think you're being a little generous giving them that NC State win. I know recent history says they should.
You know, I like history a lot of times, in these, especially rivalry games. You got to look at history for the rivalry games for sure.
But from a talent level, I don't think they should be in that game.
That's
a game NC State should win.
Yep, UNC pulled some upsets, though, in that game in the past.
I heard this stat earlier. I was looking through. They had one interception last year?
Did they really?
Total? One interception.
That's pretty unbelievable. Let me look at that, verify that.
That seemed crazy.
Yes, I'm looking at yes. He graduated. So there's
so they have no one on the football team has an interception. Has that ever happened?
I don't know.
Before?
Two years ago, somebody might have. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
Maybe 2 years ago, but
yeah, you're jumping ahead of ourselves. That's nuts, though. But if you just look at last year, there's no one coming into this season that has an interception.
Yep, I mean they don't stop teams very well. That's kind of their issue.
Let's put it mildly.
Yep,
that is crazy.
End of the year poorly too with loss. Yeah, the lost three, lost four in the year too at Duke, NC State at home, and then lost to Stanford in the Sun Bowl. Played well, I guess, in those games or close losses, but still a lot of struggles there across the board. So.
They're definitely going the wrong way. Didn't they just sign Fedora to an extension?
They did, yep.
Yeah, so this will be interesting to see how this year turns out.
Yep. I think they get to a bowl. I mean, you got them short of a bowl?
Yes.
Okay. What do you have in the Coastal Fifth? Or?
I'll say I've got them down there with Virginia and Duke kind of lumped together.
You got them ahead of Virginia and Duke?
I'd have to go back and look through their schedule. Just looking at North Carolina's schedule, I would pin them at two wins in the conference.
That's fair enough. I mean, Virginia's and Duke are both at home, so you think you got to win both of those. But, you're right. There's not a lot of freebie wins there left. So
no.
Could be a rough year in Chapel Hill, for sure, which will be nice because their basketball team has obnoxiously won the championship. So.
Yeah, they got enough good going for them.
Yeah. They can struggle.
No sympathy coming from over here.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Same here. It's not a pro UNC podcast either, so we bash them all we want as well. Moving on, the next team. Are you ready? Are you done with UNC? Or?
Yeah, I'm done. I want to talk about the next team, man.
The Pitt Panthers. Yeah, interesting team. Yeah. Last year, they beat two. They beat the national champions and another team that won. Or I guess they played the Rose Bowl, Penn State. I mean, they played two of the best wins anybody had all of last year, and they've got a lot back, especially in offense coming back from that team. Six offensive starters, only four back in defense. They don't return their quarterback, but they get Max Brown from USC, who was a very talented quarterback, skilled guy. I think he'll do well in Pitt's system. Narduzzi's a defensive coach, so even though he's not – doesn't have a lot of guys back on defense, I think he'll meld himself a decent defense. Again, I've got this team probably higher than most, but I've got them 8-4 and 6-2. I think they lose to Penn State, and they play Oklahoma State week 3 at home. I think they could lose that too. Oklahoma State's going to be really good this year, or fairly good. I don't think really good, but fairly good. I think they beat Youngstown State. They might lose 3 in a row. With Penn State, Oklahoma State, Georgia Tech, everybody down on them. But then after that, I think they dominate. They got Rice, Syracuse, NC State at home. I think they win that. At Duke, Virginia, all wins. UNC wins. At Virginia Tech's a loss. But I think they beat Miami at the end of the year to get a three-way tie for first. Unfortunately, Miami will have already clinched the division at that point based on the tiebreaker I talked about earlier. So I've got Pitt 8-4, 6-2, third in the Coastal. That's a very good season for a Pitt team that's coming off consecutive 8-win seasons. So this will be three straight 8-win seasons for the Panthers, in my prediction.
All right, I'm higher on them than you are. Then I've got them. I got them 10-2.
10-2. What do you?
10-2.
You got to lose to Penn State, I assume.
They dropped to Penn State, and I think they lose at Virginia Tech late.
Okay.
I said earlier that I got them beating Georgia Tech. I think they'll take care of Miami at home.
Yep.
And the rest of the schedule, I think, sits up pretty well for them. They get NC State at home as well.
You must be down OK State a little bit. I think the.
I think they'll beat them at home. That should be a very good game.
Oh, a shootout. They're able to shoot out. They lost to them last year, 45-38 at OK State, and it's going to be another shootout. So.
But either way, they win or lose that game. There's no effect on
conference,
So I still got them winning this division. I think getting Brown transferring in from USC is a huge help after losing Peterman. Connor steps out as well. It's going to be tough to replace them, but they've got a few horses in the stable that can keep going. The receivers.
Surprise Coastal champions, huh?
Yep. Surprise Coastal champions, Pitt.
Right, no one's got them. So if it hits, you're the one who got them. So.
I'm feeling the offense, man. I think they've got the best receiver combo in the conference.
They do, and they've got the best interdivision schedule with State at home and at Syracuse. The only issue I guess I see with their schedule is they play, I would call two of the big other four on the road with at Georgia Tech and at Virginia Tech. Obviously, I think we differentiate a little bit in how we think Georgia Tech is going to be. Also, when you got two brutal non-conferences early that could be losses, that kind of puts you in a tough spot. You just don't know what kind of confidence level you've got into a tough stretch. That's the only thing that worries me.
Yeah.
At Penn State and OK State, back-to-back. If they're 1-2, it's tough to see them winning the Coastal after that.
Yeah, but they really need to get one of those games.
They do. They do.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up as well here is they had the second worst passing defense in the country last year.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that they are a very aggressive defensive mindset.
Yep.
All out blitzes, I mean, they're sending everybody. That can work, and that can completely burn you as well. But looking at the schedule, please tell me where you see quarterbacks that can take advantage of this.
Well, you got the LSU transfer at UNC, playing them November 9th.
Tear them up, 400 yards.
Tear them up, yep.
Five TDs, right?
No, you're absolutely right. I think Finley at State, though, could do some damage. I think Pitt wins a game, but that's a tough game. I think Mason Rudolph could go throw about 5,000 yards against them that week. Three games, so I got them losing that game. You know, Oklahoma State's going to score a ton of points in that game. Even Penn State will light them up, too. If they get lit up back-to-back weeks through the air, you just wonder what their psyche is going to be going forward. I mean, you're in Georgia Tech's a ground team, so it's a much better matchup there, though they barely won that game last year at home.
I just don't see anybody in conference play on this schedule that can take advantage, I think, of their biggest weakness. Yeah, you're right, the two out-of-conference games that could turn the tables on them.
Yeah.
But let's assume they lose them both. That's not a guarantee that they're going to go into Georgia Tech and get beat. That could be the type of team that kind of rights the ship for them a little bit.
It could. I mean, you're right.
They're not really built to take advantage of what I think Pittsburgh's biggest weakness is. So.
Yep. No, I think there's definitely – I think there's four – all four of those teams are really close, in my opinion. Virginia Tech, Miami, Pitt, and Georgia Tech. And it's kind of come kind of scheduling and close games to decide who wins – who emerges out of that division, in my opinion.
So right.
We will see. Moving on to the Virginia Cavaliers now.
Yeah, we got the two Virginia teams left.
Yep. Virginia, not a lot to talk about here. Rebuilding project. Rocco Mendenhall's got more to do. I've got him a little better. 2-10 last year. I've got him 4-8 and 1-7 this year. Wins at home against William Mary, Indiana, UConn. Starting the year 3-0. Everybody will be high on them, and then they lose a bunch of games in a row. They beat Duke on October 7th and to go 4-1 and then lose their last seven games to go 4-8. There's just not a lot of winning football here. BC could be a win, I guess, October 21st at home, but you don't have a lot back. You got a bad defense back. 93rd defense of the country is back.
Which is kind of crazy to me. I would expect it to have been a little higher last year. I know the offense was terrible and probably had a negative impact. But they've got Kaiser and Blanding, linebacker and safety, respectively, are top 50 quality NFL picks.
Oh, they are.
They have some serious talent on the defensive side.
They are. I think their offense kind of put them in bad spots last year. Kurt Bennett's back at quarterback, but again, I don't know how excited you can be about him at quarterback coming back.
The running game is going to be the biggest issue, I think. They're losing a lot of the offensive line, about 1,400 yards on the ground. And the top rusher that's returning to the team had 60 yards last year. So
not good.
That's bad news.
Not good. They played some teams close. They played Louisville close last year, if you recall, lost 25-32. Played Wake close. They had some close games. Felt like it came along a little bit towards the end of the year, so we'll see if they. I think they'll be improved, get out of the basement, but again, I don't see them getting to a bowl game by any stretch of imagination.
No, not at all.
So,
yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about there.
Nope. Moving on to the last team, Virginia Tech, defending champions. I picked this team most years to win the Coastal. Trying to see if I picked them last year to win the Coastal or not. But a lot of years I pick them. They lose the quarterback. Jerod Evans went early.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah.
He didn't even get drafted.
Yeah, it's...
Who was talking to him?
Somebody not smart. Maybe he didn't like Virginia Tech. You don't know why these guys go, but yeah, that's
Where's
not...
Where's he getting his advice?
Is he going to make a preseason roster at all, do you know, or...
No, I don't. I haven't looked into it enough.
I haven't either, but yeah, not a smart move by Evans.
Don't hire his agent.
Yep.
That's kind of the lesson I took away.
Yep. Last year I picked them low. They end up winning the division. The defense has got a lot back. Fuente's a great coach too, so you're gonna have. I think this team's gonna be very good. Again, it all comes down to schedule, though, with these top teams, because they're all are so close, in my opinion. Virginia Tech's downfall, I think they beat West Virginia in the opener in Landover. It's going to be a tough game, but I think they win that. I think they go 4-0. I think they win the first four games. Then you got Clemson. It's a home game, I know. You got a chance to win that game, I guess, but it's a tough ass to win that game. Then you win games, but then you got at Miami and at Georgia Tech in November to start the year, and those both are losses in my opinion. I think they win the rest of the games though. They go 9-3, 5-3, a very good year, but unfortunately that's fourth in this division, given the fact that everybody else is right there too, with Miami at 6-2, Georgia Tech at 6-2, and Pitt at 6-2. So I've got Virginia Tech just one step behind them at 5-3, finishing fourth. A very good season overall, just not quite as good as last year. And as a result, just short of a contending for the Coastal Championship.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said there. The quarterback situation is kind of crazy, as we alluded to. They lost their best receiver. I think they need to lean on the ground game a little bit more this year. They kind of got away from it, I think, at times.
They did.
And last season, they got a pretty good offensive line, and the running back situation, I think it was more by committee last year. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, Evans outrushed all the running backs by 300 yards last year. It was their reading.
They just didn't go to the running backs.
Yeah.
That was the problem. It wasn't that they weren't effective. They just never used them.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
And then the turnovers, they've got to bring those down. But I don't see that happening because it's starting to become more of a trend than anything else.
Yeah, which is so anti-Beamer ball. You're used to them getting turnovers, not losing turnovers. But
well, it's in different. The last six years, I saw this. They've had 20 plus turnovers every year but one.
Yep.
That's just getting out of hand. So that, mm-hmm. I mean, that tells us it's more likely than not to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Defense should be excellent, like you said. Edmonds, the linebacker, is an excellent playmaker. They've got guys to replace on the defensive line, but most of their top tacklers are back. They just got to stop the run, and they got to run the ball and protect the football.
Okay, we're turning leaders for Virginia Tech passing. Jack Click, 1 attempt, 0 yards, 0 TDs, 0 completions. So that's not
well. Don't know what it. Who's going to be the starter?
It's probably going to be redshirt freshman Josh Jackson.
I know nothing about him, so it can't be any worse than 0-for-1.
Either him or JUCO transfer AJ Bush, but I don't know. Again, it's that they're going to really develop that quarterback in a hurry if they're going to have a chance. I confirm. Looking back at UNC real quick, interceptions returning leaders none. So I guess they have nobody in the team that has interceptions.
So we were right. There is literally no one with an interception on that roster.
That's correct.
Wow, so. That's something. So they can only go up. They have. All they can do, and Virginia Tech is like an open book.
Yep.
He's got to put a positive spin on it.
Yep. So in conclusion, in the Coastal, my rankings would be Miami 1, Georgia Tech 2, Pitt 3, Virginia Tech 4, North Carolina 5, Virginia 6, Duke 7. Your rankings, I think you had Pitt 1. Did you have Miami 2?
Yeah.
Then Georgia Tech 3.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech 4.
And then the last three, I don't really care. Just jumble them up.
Jumble up the last three.
Sounds bad.
So Florida State versus Pitt. You got Florida State winning that game, I assume? Or?
Yeah, I can't. I couldn't go out on that much of a limb.
Yeah, but I got Florida State beating Miami in a rematch there. I think be a fun game. It'll get everybody up to it if it's Florida State Miami. But again, I think Florida State will find a way to beat them.
So we've got Florida State winning the ACC.
Yep.
And Louisville with a better record.
Yep. The difference is you got Florida State getting the playoff. I don't. I got the ACC getting shut out in a
surprise. I don't see that happening. There's no way. You really think the ACC gets shut out?
If everybody, if it ends up weird with a 3-loss conference champ, it's going to get weird. I can see him getting shut out. We could have 3 teams in year 6, but 0 teams in the championship, in the playoff.
I don't think it's going to happen. I guess we'll get into that maybe on our last conference podcast. We'll talk about our playoff predictions, but okay. I just can't see it, man.
We'll see.
That would be quite the debate, though, if Florida State's sitting there with 2 losses and a conference title and Louisville's sitting there with 1. I think Louisville really damaged themselves with that schedule.
Yep. I think Florida State would get over Louisville in this situation. I think they'd have to do it. But the difference is I think Florida State gets 3 losses instead of the 2.
If they ended up with 2 and they got in over Louisville, I'd be okay with that. I think the reasoning is there. I'd have no issue.
I think they will get in. I don't think Louisville, unless they win the division and win the ACC, they're not getting the playoff.
Well, you're a staunch believer of the win-loss record, right?
I am, but I will concur that if you lose head-to-head to a team, they played a twice the better schedule than you, they won the division over you. I mean, there's certain limits to that.
You've always done your rankings, though, based on how many losses you got.
That would be a tough situation for me. I'm not gonna lie. It would be
break
a tough.
The norm.
So it really would depend when they go head to head. If Florida State wins a lucky game at home, I might be more inclined to take Louisville. But if Florida State beats them by 3 or 4 touchdowns, I mean it's gonna be hard for me to put Louisville ahead of them, even when Florida State's got the extra loss. If they have 2 extra losses though, then I'll put Louisville ahead of them. But
yeah, it's a little hard to argue when you got a second loss. That you know, 1 loss to first 2 is one thing, but when you hit that 3 marker, you got 2 more losses than the opponent. That's a little bit different.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap up the Coastal. Big 10? Big 12? I don't know. I forget which one we said. We'll figure it out. Which one?
Big 10 next week. Big 10.
Okay, we'll do Big 10 next week. I'm going to deep dive into my Buckeyes.
Yeah, well, sounds good.
And then we'll get a little Wimbledon update. And we'll kind of maybe play catch up on a little NBA trade free agency. See what's been going on. Get your opinion.
Sounds great.
This was fun.
Fun, yeah. I'm excited for college football season for sure. I hope all the listeners are as amped up as we are, because it's got me excited now that we're talking about it. It kind of got
real all of a sudden when we started getting into it.
It did. It did get real. So it's it'll hopefully get more and more real every week as we delve into these conferences and these teams. So it'll be good.
I hadn't really been thinking about it until you said, "Hey, let's do a conference by conference preview." I was like, "Oh, yep. That's a good idea."
That's what we need to do.
It is July, isn't it?
It's July, yep. It's starting to be. You know, we're within 8 weeks, so let's do it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
All right, man. This is fun. We'll get it posted. We probably should say before we finish up, though, where you can listen to the podcast.
Yep.
That's good. So we usually just post a link on Twitter at 68and16sports. That's 68 and spelled out, and then 16 sports. We'll have a link on there as well to the actual website, so you can go check that out. That is, I probably should know it off the top of my head, but bear with me. 68and16sports.wordpress.com.
Sounds great.
So everything will be uploaded.
I'll post this on Facebook as well, and my blog, where you'll get the written breakdowns of all of these previews, is going to be sportsentiment.com. It's sport sentiment, sentiment.com.
And we'll post a link to that on the blog posting on the website, so you can just click on over there. All right. Well, we will be back next Thursday to record the Big Ten, and one week closer to football, to kickoff.
There we go.
That's right. Awesome.
Yep.
All right. Well, we thank everybody for listening, and hope that you'll tune back in next week.